B-Pod Studios.
India.
Really?
Yeah, it can hold 10,000 residents in one city, and it will address dire housing shortages and threats of rising sea levels. But the coolest thing is, you're like, oh, that thing's going to get flooded or whatever, but nope. It can withstand floods, tsunamis, and Category 5 hurricanes.
Really?
Yeah.
How have they tested this?
It's an idea. It's
a good point. Yeah.
And why did we do this? Did we see Waterworld too many times? What did we see? Never mind, Sam. That's a reference that you won't know.
No, I don't understand that. But it's really cool. I was looking into it more, and they're like having a whole concept of ocean farming, which is growing food beneath the surface. And they actually have pictures and like diagrams. So like... to test it out in, like, obviously many forms, but it's really cool.
Why don't you put the floating city at the Great Barrier Reef and maybe you could kill two birds with one stone?
Because the Great Barrier Reef was already bleached twice, Bob.
It was bleached?
Yeah,
it was
it's not growing anymore. Yeah. Mm. That's what they're called, bleach.
Bleached.
Really?
When, like, yeah, when it dies, it turns white. They call it bleaching.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh. So it's not like a teenager
you
in the
guys,
90s?
Fun fact, I wanted to be an oceanographer before sports reporting.
Really?
So, yeah,
that is
back
a fun
in the sixth
fact.
Grade.
That's why the global warming, I guess.
That was only a couple years
ago.
Yeah.
Remember 20 minutes ago when Sam wanted to be
actually 11 years ago now.
Marine biologist.
But, yeah. Well, and then also one more raising awareness for our friend Jason who called the show. His son just got diagnosed with Lyme disease, which is so sad. And he just is looking for recommendations of doctors for people that specialize in Lyme. So if anybody has any suggestions, call in.
There you go.
Yes. I had Lyme disease in 1999. It's no fun.
It doesn't leave you.
It does
don't
not.
You have it forever?
It doesn't.
I don't think it's a good time.
It used to be that I couldn't give blood. I couldn't donate blood, they said back then, for the rest of my life. I think it's changed now. But, yeah, it's tough. That's a tough thing to have.
Well, wait till
put me down for a while.
Wait till that whiskey gets out of your system before you donate any blood, all right there?
If they're waiting for alcohol to get out of my system to give blood, they ain't getting no blood.
It's Bob Cooney.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Sam Wilson, thanks very much. That's been Around the World with Sam Wilson. 610-632-0975. Do have to tell you that you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPN Burlington. In Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Momentarily, we'll talk to Paul Hudrick of NBC Sports Philadelphia. I wonder if he's heard the Tom McGinnis call yet. We're trying to get it to everybody, but on the line with us right now, and coming up at the bottom of the hour, 9:30, we're going to talk to comedian Steve Byrne, who is performing at Helium Comedy Club right here in Philadelphia. He's got two shows Friday and two shows Saturday night as well. Steve Byrne, formerly of Sullivan and Son Comedy on TBS. Great show. But right now, we're going to talk to Paul Hudrick of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Paul, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, guys.
Fire Brett Brown, Paul. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I knew this was coming.
I'm the guy that gets labeled a Brett Brown defender, although I think most people are where I'm at, which is if they don't get it on the second round, it's over.
Yeah, and it's not a completely unfair thing. I mean, yeah, if they don't make it past the first round of the playoffs this year, then there's definitely going to be some question marks about this guy's job. And then, you know, if they don't have a good showing in the second round, I think there's still going to be questions about the guy's job. I just think to judge him now based on what we've seen in the regular season and to judge him on last night, just you know, that making that your reason to fire him, I'm not quite sure I'm there with that. But, yeah, I mean, if the playoff success doesn't get to a point where it's satisfactory, then, yeah, I think his job's definitely going to be in question.
All right, if you look at this game last night, Paul, I think the number one thing that jumps out is 46 points in the fourth quarter by the Bucks. Sixers, 10 points behind them. Still 36 is a good number to post in a quarter. But the defense has just been a struggle all year long. Defensive switches, defensive schemes. Ben Simmons even talked about concepts after their latest loss to the Hawks. So when you look at this team right now, is defense the number one concerning thing going forward?
Absolutely. And I think that's been the number one cause all season. Even when people were talking about Jimmy Butler and his fit and all that. The defense was always the biggest thing that stuck out to me. I will say this, through three quarters, the defense was pretty damn good. They were holding the Bucks under 40%. They were holding them under 30% from three. So for three quarters, what they were doing was working. And then the fourth quarter, it just all kind of came unraveled. And I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think Embiid looks, you know, and this is what happens when a guy doesn't play for a week and, you know, he hasn't played consistent minutes. He did look a little tired in the fourth quarter. I think they just had a lot of lapses. There was, I know they mentioned that there were a couple, you know, I think JJ mentioned it, and I think Brett mentioned it as well, a couple loose balls that it didn't get to. You know, Embiid makes a great play on a George Hill block, and no one comes away with the ball, and then they score Zaire Smith has that great steal and then, you know, loves the dunk, and then Bucks turn around and get hit a three. That's a 5-point swing. So I think a lot of that stuff added up on top of them just simply, you know, I don't think it was a scheme. I don't think it was anything like that in the fourth quarter. I just think they flat out didn't execute in the fourth quarter.
What else stuck out to you in this game in particular, maybe a little bit before? They seemed like they were getting back into it. You had the scuffle with Eric Bledsoe. He gets ejected. What else stuck out to you about this game, Paul?
So, you know, it's amazing to me, Joel Embiid. It's like I personally can't even truly grasp how great of a player this guy is. When, you know, again, you don't play for a week. You step into a playoff-like atmosphere against the team with the best record in the NBA, and, you know, he was clearly rusty early. You could tell, like, even, like, Brook Lopez, I think just the physicality was just not, it's something he wasn't used to. He hasn't felt, you know, a 7-footer's body on him in a week. So it took him a little bit to get into the flow of the game, but once he did, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, to put up, the second triple-double of his career, you know, I tweeted very late last night, the numbers he put up, 34 points, 13 boards, 13 assists, three blocks. Only three guys in NBA history have put up that stat line: Joel, Magic Johnson, and LeBron James. So, I mean, what we're watching with this guy is something really, really special. And I think that's why, you know, obviously it hasn't been great basketball to watch when he hasn't played. And I get why fans are discouraged and disappointed when he hasn't played. But as you can see, getting this guy to the playoffs healthy is really the only thing this team should be worried about right now, because of how great and how special he is.
Well, Paul, that's what I want to hit on. So they hold him out for these last few games, 8 days. He wasn't with the team, all that. You get done the game last night, and Brett immediately goes to, the team was discombobulated. We're just not used to playing with each other. These are the things that happen. Not excuses. They're facts. But you're holding him out for load management, yet you're also saying that the team can't play well together because they're not used to each other. Is he more hurt than we know? Is that a possibility, Paul?
I guess it is possible. I do think it's also just, they're just, and you know this, Bob, from your time, like, they're just so careful with him because of everything he's been through in his career. You know, obviously the navicular bone is in the past, but it's still something, you know, you're still looking at things. You know, it's the same knee that he's dealing with tonight. It's the same knee that he had a torn meniscus in. So, I mean, it's something that they're just going to really, really be careful with, so I get it. I guess it's fair to wonder that if there's something more there, but from what we see when he does play, I mean, he looks, I mean, you know, again, rusty early, but when he turned it on, I mean, he looked phenomenal. And you know, again, the biggest thing that stuck out to me was the 13 assists. I mean, he's starting to see the floor better too, which I think is really encouraging. That's something he struggled with all season, dealing with the double teams. But yeah, as far as, is he more hurt? I don't know. But, you know, like I said, when he has played and when he has turned it on, he's looked phenomenal.
Paul, what about this rotation that we're going to see in the playoffs? Now, Brett alluded to Zaire Smith last night, and you're going to have to take a look at him, like almost as if he's still on a tryout, an audition, to get minutes in the playoffs. To me, that's an unbelievable alarm that you're looking at guys with three games to go to see if they're going to be in your playoff rotation. But do you think he's a guy that may warrant some minutes, or is he like that special 10th guy that maybe you'll just throw in there?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you see Zaire, the one thing I think of is, man, like, what could have been with this kid? Because clearly he has something. I mean, he is such a freak athletically. You can tell he's got a really good defensive instinct. He just really understands the game on that end of the floor. If he was healthy and had played all season, I think he's a guy that absolutely, I would have no question, could help this team in the playoffs. As of now, it's just, you know, Could he? I don't know. He might have to try because they might just not have a choice. He might just be the best option as a guy who can give you defense, give you energy. You know, obviously he's going to play his tail off for you. You know, and there was a little bit of moments of kind of like a chicken with their head cut off kind of stuff where he was playing really hard and he was giving everything he had, but there were just moments where it looked like he didn't know what he was doing in a sense. So, I mean, can he help you? I don't. He might just have to. That might just be what has to happen with Ennis out. At least, you know, he's probably going to be out till what? Maybe game four of the first round series.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to get something out of Zaire Smith.
Speaking with Paul Hudrick, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and the My Teams app as well. Paul, if you had to go from March 20th at, say, 11:30, shortly after they beat the Boston Celtics at home, to right now, Sixers have lost three in a row, their worst losing streak of the season. They've lost five of seven, I believe, now. How much is your confidence in what this team can bring in the postseason? How much has that taken a hit, if at all, over the last 3 weeks or so?
For me, it really hasn't taken a hit because this is what happens. Like, you know, Tom Haberstroh, who's the NBA insider for NBC Sports, he wrote a really interesting piece last week basically saying momentum going into the playoffs is a myth. You know, you look at like what the Warriors did last year, you know, they basically stumbled into the playoffs, had a terrible finish, and the Cavaliers were on fire going in. And, you know, what happens is ultimately the talent of the Warriors wins out. And that's really what the Sixers are hoping for here. They have enough talent to make it to the NBA Finals. They have enough good players and enough talent in that starting five to make that happen. A lot of stuff has to go right. They're going to have to figure a lot of stuff out in a first-round playoff series, which isn't the ideal time to be figuring stuff out. Mm. But that's just the reality of what they have to deal with. And I think they're not the only team that's going to have questions. You know, the Bucks are a little banged up heading in with the Raptors, like which Kyle Lowry. You know, Kyle Lowry hasn't, you know, he's a great regular season player, but hasn't always been great in the playoffs. So they're going to have some question marks. Obviously, the Celtics have plenty of their own question marks. So it's not an ideal time to try to figure it out. But I do think that this team, what you saw when they went on the road and beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee and when they beat the Celtics at home, that team is there. That team can show up. Will they show up for the entire playoffs? I don't know.
I read that article, Paul, by Tom Haberstroh. The only thing that I took exception to was that there was the fact that there's so many different players on the Sixers, and as Brett Brown has said, this team has had three different versions of itself. You would like some momentum to show you that everybody's on the same page going into the playoffs.
And I hear you. I think that's fair. And even Brett would admit that you know, and I think everyone would admit this is not ideal. It's not an ideal situation to have these guys sit out. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at it, you know, what's more important, you know, having this idea of chemistry or having Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler healthy for the playoffs? And again, when you look at how great Embiid is and how great he's been and how important he is to this team, like they can't win without Joel Embiid. So when I look at that, I mean, there is it's not ideal, but there is nothing more important than getting this guy healthy to the playoffs.
Hey, Paul, I know earlier you were saying how talented these guys are and how much their talent can get them to where they need to be, but are they disciplined enough to get to make it?
So discipline, I mean, that's, you know, we'll see. You know, the defensive stuff, like we talked about earlier, it's definitely a concern. It's not something you can just brush under the rug. This team, you have to play, you know, NBA playoff caliber defense in order to win a game in the playoffs. And I think you saw, again, those two games against the Bucks and the Celtics that they won, those were games where you saw what this team can be when they are disciplined, when they are playing together, when they are clicking, when they're executing the defensive scheme the way it's meant to be executed. You see what this team can be. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to, you know, without that chemistry, without that. Do they have the discipline? I don't know if they do. They've shown it in flashes, but do they have it to get them to the NBA Finals? I don't know.
Who would you consider the leader on that team?
So Joel Embiid is certainly one of the leaders of the team. I would also say Jimmy Butler has really emerged as a leader. It's funny, you know, for all the stuff that came out with him in Minnesota, and, you know, and I definitely will fully admit I was a person who was not a fan of the way he handled everything when he left Minnesota. He has really been really good here as far as that goes. From what I've heard, he's been a really good teammate. He's been a really good leader for them. You know, there hasn't been any issues. Granted, this is, you know, things have gone right here, and it's a situation that he put himself in because he wanted out of Minnesota and he got what he wanted, and he's acting like a guy who's got what he wanted. So I would think those two guys are probably your biggest leaders. Obviously, J.J. Redick is a guy who's been here, who's done that. He's definitely a leader on this team. But probably those three players, probably Joel, Jimmy, and J.J. are probably like the three biggest leaders on this team.
All right, Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.com, my team's app. Have you heard the Tom McGinnis call yet?
I have. I heard it on the wee hours on the way home. I turned the highlight, and it was wonderful.
It was wonderful. All right, I was going to play it for you, but since you heard it, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you coming in and talking to us about everything with the Sixers last night. Hopefully they get a little bit of something going before the postseason hits. Paul, thanks so much for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
All right, Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.com, and the My Teams app. In case you haven't heard it yet, Tom McGinnis last night, 2.5 minutes into the game, Eric Bledsoe throws a ball at Joel Embiid after Eric Bledsoe put a little elbow into Embiid's back. Embiid got a ball. Tossed it in the direction of Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe responded by chucking the ball at him. Here is, it was 13-5 in favor of the Bucks at this point in the game, 2.5 minutes in. Here is Tom McGinnis's call right here on 97.5, the Fanatic, of the melee that ensued.
Gary Antetokounmpo to shoot a three, and he makes them pay. Joel Embiid. Whoa! Man! There's that Bledsoe! He just whipped the ball at Embiid! Oh, my! He just fired a ball! Budenholzer in the face of Eric Bledsoe. He's got to be tossed out of here. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. I have not seen a violent act like that in years. Get him out. Unbelievable. He hit him beat right in the face. He threw it from 20 feet away.
That was, it's still, like, every time I hear it, it just brings me joy. It really does. Then, the play-by-play of it later, I guess, was a little delayed for Tom's liking, because they go over, they consult the videotape, they see exactly what unfolded throughout the entire play, then they go to make the announcement, and Tom McGinnis comes back on mic as Matt Cord is making the announcement. Here's how that unfolded.
Okay, we have a technical foul on Joel Embiid.
Oh my God! Not out! Two technical fouls on Eric Bledsoe. He is ejected. All right, there he is. He's ejected.
Excuse me.
I love Tom. See you, Bledsoe.
Nice job. Solid sportsmanship. Night.
Tom was overflowing with emotion right there.
Oh, definitely.
Solid sportsmanship.
The voice.
Solid sportsmanship.
Voice was cracking.
That's 2.5 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
And he almost loses his voice.
Solid sportsmanship.
I don't know if there's anything better than that.
He's the bad man of Radio Row, Tom McGinnis. He wanted a piece, I think, of Bledsoe.
Now, you're watching everything. If Joel Embiid is not our guy, we're hating Joel Embiid. If we're a fan of the Bucks, we look at that as, oh, well, you threw the ball at him. And, you know, as a Sixers fan, you can look at this and say Eric Bledsoe started this. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. With the they got a little tangled. Mm-hmm. Bledsoe retaliated he shoved him. That is basically what happened. Now, this is the second time in about 3 weeks now that Embiid has egged somebody on to the point of shoving
him. And he's proud of it.
Damn proud of it. You saw him hanging on to the net as they were waiting for the call to be made as to how it was going to unfold. And Embiid had his hands on the net and was just waiting for it. And they make the announcement that Eric Bledsoe was being ejected. And Embiid gives him the wave. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
That is an antagonist right there. You got to love that. You absolutely have to love that.
You love it, yeah. You love it if you're in Philly.
Joel was asked about it after the game.
Oh.
And he's very proud. This wasn't exactly the answer I was expecting, but I did enjoy it.
Okay. I'm just thinking that I'm pretty good at what I do, and this is the second time I get one of the key guys from the other team thrown out, so I was pretty excited about it.
Wow.
So that's their new defensive philosophy, I think, for the playoffs.
That's a good one.
Just get one of the other team's best players ejected every game.
They can't hurt you.
If they're not playing.
This is a brilliant move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I take back everything.
Didn't work last night.
They should sign Brett Brown to a 10-year contract. There you go.
It worked against Marcus Smart, Bob.
This is his strategy. Mm-hmm. And they beat the Celtics, which gave me a high as a fan. And it wasn't quite a kitty litter high, but it was a high. just looking at all the things in front of me, the evidence suggests Brett Brown 10-year contract. There you go. Spread
any
the
chance you were stuffing your face under your cat's, lower region last night?
Trying to catch a little urine.
Barry,
come on.
As Mike and Del Ram put it, burying my face in the kitty litter, waiting for that moment.
Were you waiting for it?
Zero chance. I was tempted after the photo of you, Bob, with Rosie.
You peed on me.
that's what he's looking for.
I was tempted to just get an entire handle of Jack Daniels and pose with the cats in front of my TV.
That's well, they sit on your lap every night, don't they? I mean,
not anymore, thank goodness.
No?
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got home a little early yesterday from the siesta. Right. I had that time for a siesta.
Uh-huh.
And the cat was just wanted to sit on my lap as I was like watching TV.
Because you love each other.
No, I put two pillows as a barrier so the cat wouldn't bother me. Mm. And then I went to bed and closed the door.
With the cat next to you, cuddled up under your chin while you took your siesta.
With the cat on the cushion, the patio cushion that we brought inside. And the cat now sleeps on that and doesn't. You know, we're starting to learn to respect each other's space.
Mm.
Okay.
I think he's a cat lover, Jerry.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I respect
the
cats.
Who doesn't want to love cat?
This guy, Trey.
Moving on.
To answer the question, Trey, this guy, me, moi, does not want the cat in the room. But I disagree. Like, the average, not the average, what am I saying? Momentum. The momentum of a team. You talk about the 15 wins they closed the season out with last. That doesn't mean that they're going to go last year. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're going to roll through the playoffs and then win an NBA championship. But when, Bob, this has been your big concern. When you're looking at the fact that these guys have not played together enough, that is one of the biggest concerns, if not the biggest concern. Because if you want to just label it blanket statement, biggest concern, you're looking at the defense of this team in the playoffs.
Right.
But a big part of that is the fact they haven't played together. Well, it could be a huge cause for why their defense has been terrible.
We keep hearing after games, lack of communication. Well, how do you learn each other? I mean, you know, you learn to talk by playing with each other. They just haven't played with each other. It concerns me, yeah. Is it the overriding factor why they might lose a second round? It could be. It very well could be. Like Paul brought up, he said, you know, do you want to go into the playoffs healthy or with cohesion? My thing is, why couldn't you have had both? If
right.
you're being honest about Joel Embiid's knee and you're just taking him off for load management, you could have played a handful of games together. Rested a Jimmy Butler, rested a Joel Embiid. Another handful of games together. Embiid's missed he's played in 9 of the last 21 games.
Jeez.
9 of 21. Jimmy Butler's missing out. JJ Redick's going to have to get a break now. You could have handled the cohesion part better and still had them healthy going into the playoffs.
And the idea that some of this is optional, if not most of it. Now, barring an injury they're not telling us about, most of this is optional. That it's load management. It's not because of an injury. Now, coming back from the All-Star game, what, he missed 8 games out of the gate?
Yeah.
No, they said that because of a knee soreness, right? Tendonitis was the word that Brett Brown used.
He looked pretty hurt to me heading into the half last night when he was wincing up and down the court.
Well, that was also when he turned his ankle. Well, it was at the third quarter.
Yeah, that was also the ankle. But there was also the coccin bone. There was the ankle.
Right.
There was, you know, the back. It's... Mm-hmm.
That Eric Bledsoe elbowed.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's just playing hurt. And he's still putting up unbelievable numbers.
And still a
numbers.
Triple-double. He's a monster. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think
incredible.
He's pretty banged up.
Yeah, I guess. But if this is load management, then they're telling us don't worry about anything. This is
it's
just
about load management.
Well, I guess that's what it is then. But if any of this is optional, I wish they would choose the option of him playing so this team can get on the same page. And Jimmy Butler not playing, again, and I ripped Brett Brown for this yesterday. I'll go at it again today. Jimmy Butler playing with a bad back, going from not healthy enough to play to taking part in shoot-around to being probable to play, then starter, then 34 minutes, and then he's not here for the Bucks game? Like, what's the give and take here? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me either. You mean to tell me you can't get Joel Embiid? You essentially, I think, had an option to get Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler, your full squad, on the floor at the same time. And instead they opted for 34 minutes with Jimmy Butler in Atlanta.
Yeah, unless
it's the eye injury now is what kept him out.
It's the same thing that's going on through the years. It doesn't make sense, you know, and the more they try to explain it, the more it doesn't say. The way they've handled so-called injuries and load management over the years, it's just so questionable. San Antonio started it. They did it. They had a purpose. They had a reason. They took their team to the playoffs fully healthy. Brett talks about landing the plane. You want to take the team to the playoffs fully healthy. This year's different in that you have a brand new team that you're trying. Brett admitted this is the third team he's had. Why can't you get the cohesion and the health at the same time? You know, I mean, it went to the point where San Antonio one time when they were here, Tim Duncan was out. Reason? On the score sheet, the reason. Old. Seriously, old. That's what they put. Popovich is going to be like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's what I'm doing to help my team. Well, I think that would help if the Sixers were a little more honest. Maybe, I guess. It would help us, I guess. I don't know who would help.
Just to confirm, yeah, it was the back tightness for Jimmy Butler that he was out last night. It had nothing to do with the getting poked in the eye in the previous night. 610-632-0975. Coming up, of course, later in this hour, we'll let you hear again. Tom McGinnis made the call of Eric Bledsoe being ejected last night. And coming up in a couple of minutes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a real treat for you. We have a hilarious comedian in studio for you. He's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club. He's got 2 shows tonight. He's got 2 shows Saturday night, 7:30 and 10. All 4 shows is how they run right there. And he's going to be at Helium Comedy Club. Stephen Byrne will join us coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Stalchunas on the updates. And in studio with us right now, we are looking for some more ha-has after what happened last night with the 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks. This man is performing at Helium Comedy Club. Tonight he's got two shows, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Tomorrow night he's got two shows, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Please welcome in Steve Byrne with us right here.
Thank you so much.
Helium Comedy Club. Steve, this is a pleasure. We have a mutual friend. Not only do I admire your career, I admire your personality based on what our mutual friend has told us. I hope to, too, one day drink and eat a lot of horrible food with you. You're actually, I will call you a local guy. Now, you made the move across the state, but you're from Freehold, New Jersey.
Born in Freehold, grew up in Pittsburgh, live in Los Angeles now,
Just like you planned.
It's a natural climb.
Of course. I lived in Chicago for 2 or 3 years.
I love Chicago.
Yeah, and New York. I lived in New York for a while. That's where I started doing stand-up.
Okay, awesome. Now, when you come to Philly, I always like asking comics this, because you've been all over the place.
Yes. I go right to Geno's. I'm not even joking. That's my first meal every time.
Of the two, the Pats versus Geno's people, I am a Geno's person.
Yeah.
Now, my favorite cheesesteak in Philadelphia, though, is Tony Luke's. You get sharp provolone, you get the cherry pepper on that thing, you're good to go.
All I know is you could give me any one of those three, right? Pat's, Geno's, all of them. Nonstop pretzels. I love pretzels. I love cheesesteak egg rolls. Because I'm Asian. I've had some of those out here, so you got to have that.
Yes.
But it's an excuse to eat like an eighth grader at a roller skating party. And this city is the greatest. It is absolutely the greatest.
Are you a sports fan at all? Do you have any allegiances?
I have an allegiance to the Penguins. I'm sorry, guys. I love the rivalry. I respect the rivalry. And I actually, I'm a hockey fan, too. So I'll say, if Giroux won and Voracek won, I love Wayne Simmons. He's a guy I would love to have on our team.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's on the Preds now.
Yeah.
And he was somebody that was great for the rivalry. But if the Flyers won a cup, I'd be happy for him because I'm still a hockey fan at heart. And when Ovechkin won, Crosby and Ovechkin, they're always going back and forth. Who's better? For the sport, it's great, and for the rivalry, it's great, so why not?
Do you still, when your team loses, last night, the Sixers lost to the Bucks, right? And that's the best team in the Eastern Conference, and the Sixers were able to beat them in Milwaukee, and then they lose here. Do you still get mad? Or do you, is that something you eventually grow out of?
I don't get, when the Pens get eliminated, last year, I was like, all right, well, there's nothing to complain about. It's still one of the generational talents that I get to root for.
Mm.
He's not liked here.
I know he's not liked here. Yeah. But
you're talking about Sidney Crosby, right?
Yeah.
Hey, he's all right.
He's the best player in hockey. You guys heard of him? Three cups?
If I'm drafted right now, I'm going Connor McDavid.
I'm
going
to have to say you're the second most famous person from Freehold. How you like that?
Now, what are you working on now? Because Sullivan and Son was a phenomenal show.
Thank you.
And it made me, and honestly, not that I'm a self-centered human, but it made me think of myself a little bit. I have an odd pairing when it comes to my parents.
Yeah, okay. What is your background?
I have an Italian father and then a mostly Polish mother.
Okay.
Not exactly the most common mix. And then you're Korean-Irish?
Caucasian and Asian, which I discovered makes me Caucasian. Hello. Hello. That's it. Trey's loving me. Trey, just curious, what's the most you ever bench pressed in your life?
When I was in college, 550.
550?
Yeah.
Dear God, 551. So everybody needs goals, guys. You all need goals. 550, that's a car, right? That's a car.
Yes, and people in the car.
And people in the car, yeah. Like a clown car.
Yes, exactly.
Good God.
It's insane. The man's an absolute beast of a human being.
If I bench press 550, that's the first thing I would say to anybody I ever met.
That's how you
Hey, I'm Ricky. What's your name? I'm Steve. I bench press 550.
So you got the shows at Helium Comedy Club tonight and Saturday.
Yeah.
What else have you been working on?
So I'm working on this new hour that'll be coming out later this year. I just wrote and directed a feature film called The Opening Act. It's about my early years in stand-up. So Vince Vaughn produced it. It's a crazy cast, and it's all about a kid's first time on the road as the MC, like at a professional club. So the first half of the film is like all the romanticism and optimism, like blind optimism. We're going to do this, and partying of hanging out with the feature act, who's played by Alex Moffat, who's on SNL. And then the back half of the film is all the sobriety, isolation, and reality of what the job actually is going to become. And the headliner, Cedric the Entertainer. So,
oh, wow.
It's Jimmy O. Yang plays a younger version of me as the MCs in Silicon Valley and Crazy Rich Asians. Then it's Eliza Schlesinger, Kathleen Madigan, Whitney Cummings, Angela Johnson, Russell Peters, Ken Jeong, Bill Burr, Tom Segura, whoa, Felipe Esparza, Neil Brennan. Just a ton of great stand-ups in this film. And it's really... If you ever go to a comedy club and you're like, what's it like the rest of the weekend for these guys, this film... that's what it's about.
I'm going to just assume that stand-up comedy is not like a family business.
For the Korean side?
No, for you. For just in general. Do you have family that's in this?
No, God, no. Thank God. No. So I would never, like, if my brother was... I want to be a stand-up. It's like, oh, God, just get me the gun. I just... bing.
So no. Where'd the idea come from?
To do stand-up?
It's like, I think I'll do stand-up.
You know, I graduated at a Kent State University, which has a horrible football program at the time. There's 218 NCAA Division I football teams at the time. We were 217th. I think we were better than DeVry or University of Phoenix. We were so bad. So I graduated from there. I moved to New York City. My father was working in New York for a while. And I said, hey, can I just crash on your couch for like 3 months and experience New York City before I move to California? He's like, absolutely. So the first day I got there, I said, I'm not coming home till I have a job. And I started on 86th and Broadway and walked all the way down to 50th and Broadway. And I walked into Caroline's Comedy Club, and the manager happened to be at the host stand at the time. And I said, I'm looking for a job. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I'll do anything. He said, fill this out, come back tomorrow. And I started sweeping floors, answering phones, seating people. And I got to watch everybody. I was watching all the greats that are now great that were just young comics back then. And I thought, that's what I want to do. And I tried it out like 3 months later. I always say it's like the first time I had sex because it was quick. I cried afterwards and I couldn't wait to do it again. And so that was, I was just absolutely hooked. And I was doing, from then on, for the first 7 years, I was doing holidays, New Year's, Christmas, it didn't matter. 7 to 8 shows a night. I broke the record for most sets in one night. I did 13.
Oh,
NHL had
God.
Wow. So there's like a documentary I did about that called 13 or Bust. It's on YouTube. It's free. And like Bill Burr's in it and Bobby Kelly dubbed David off.
Wow.
It's a pretty cool little crew. Yeah.
That's awesome. Talking with comedian Steve Byrne. You can see him at Helium Comedy Club, 7:30, 10:30 tonight and tomorrow night. Two shows both night. That's incredible. What is and I always ask everybody this. Some people just phenomenal answer. Some people don't know how to answer, but sure. I love asking the question.
Okay.
What's a Philly crowd like?
A Philly crowd, I will say this. A Philly
and
crowd.
And they all get the same look on their face. Like,
some people are like, oh, how do I not say the wrong thing here? But you smile.
I think it's probably much like being an athlete. I think when they love you, they love you. And when they don't, they don't. And when you don't do well in Philly, you know you did not do well in Philly.
You will find out.
Yeah, they are an absolutely raw, completely honest crowd. But I'm telling you, there's no better. Like Boston and Philly are very similar in the fact that they're a drinking crowd. But like once the train's left the station, if it's good, it's great. It's absolutely great. And some of the best times I've ever had, like boozing afterwards, have been in Philly.
Awesome. Now you also you're going to be doing some kind of talk format show.
So my newest hour that I'm going to do is some of these hour specials. It's just somebody in front of a curtain talking for an hour. And I just thought you got to do something aesthetically different. So mine's going to be a talk show, but I'm the only one on the talk show. And so I'm going to come out and do the monologue, a little panel, a little stand up. And if you're paying attention, it's three different styles of writing, but I'm a huge Carson fan. I grew up with Carson. I love Bob Hope. I love Dangerfield. I love those just quick zingers. So I could do some if you want.
The floor is yours.
All right. And you guys, you know, feel free to courtesy laugh. If you don't want to, don't laugh either. But if you got a little drum snare, you know, you kick that.
Jamie, do we have our drummer standing by? Do we
have bang? Okay, so I'll give you the old throw. The London Daily Mail recently published a men's health study, which says at least for men, having sex burns the same amount of calories as running 6 miles. I find that ridiculous because no man ever ran 6 miles in 48 seconds. Pfizer has announced they've developed a morning after pill for men. Finally, right? It changes your phone number and DNA. Come on. let's see.
It's hard to go after the day after for a man.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
University of Maryland researchers recently discovered a chemical in a woman's brain that makes her 3 times more likely to talk than a man. That chemical is called a margarita.
Damn!
I don't know if you guys saw this. John Hopkins recently, their surgeons performed the first fully functioning penis and scrotum transplant. This is a true story.
Trey, did you hear this?
It was successful. It was done on a wounded U.S. war vet, and I think this is an incredible story because not only is this individual a war hero, I like to think that his penis and scrotum won the men's decathlon in the 1976 Olympics. Bruce Jenner. That's the point of that. Okay.
One more.
Okay.
We'll give you two more.
Okay. This is a true story. A young couple in Northern California was recently arrested for trying to sell their young child in the parking lot of a Walmart for $25.
What?
Walmart issued a statement. We are horrified. But yet again, where else will you find these everyday low prices? Kim Kardashian was asked if she could take a selfie with anyone dead or alive. Who would it be? Her answer, Jesus Christ. But I think we can all agree, he has suffered enough. I'll give you one more. This is the last one. NFL. Okay. Right. Big issue in the NFL is concussions, which leads to CTE. And if the NFL wants to do a better job at curbing concussions, I think what they need to do is develop better helmets for their wives and girlfriends. That joke does worse in Baltimore. Hello.
Steve Byrne, ladies and gentlemen. See him at Helium Comedy Club. 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow night, 7:30, and then the late show, 10 o'clock. Steve Byrne, great to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I was going to say something. No, it was great. Great hanging.
Thank you very much.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
yeah.
I do. Okay. Thank you very much. Steve Byrne, ladies and gentlemen, catch him at Helium Comedy Club. Thanks for coming in.
And Trey and I are going to be filming Rush Hour 3 or 4 this summer, by the way. I don't know if you're going to.
I can't wait. Time for the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
How about Steve Byrne dropping by, having some fun? Always good to see him. Good to meet him, finally.
Yeah, good guy.
Good to meet him. I mean, see him at Helium Comedy Club. But I do have a deal of the week for you, ladies and gentlemen. Backed by popular demand.
Sensational.
Ron Jaworski golf passports are available for purchase now through Sunday, April 14th. Or while supplies last, this exclusive deal gets you a round of golf at 6 amazing courses for just $89. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword, deal. And would it be a Friday, Trey, without our sexy weather report?
Absolutely.
Would it be a Friday without our sexy weather report? If you have a sexy weather report, call 610-771-9759. You might hear yourself on the show here for Farzetta and Trey in the morning. You just call our sexy weather line, deliver the upcoming weekend weather in your sexiest, hottest voice, and you just might hear yourself. It's all brought to you by Delilah's Gentlemen's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. Here is our sexy weather report for today.
Hey guys, it's Coach Ed Orgeron here at LSU doing your sexy weather report, I believe I was told. I just want to let you know, in Philadelphia, it's a little different down here in LSU, but in Philadelphia, it's going to be around 42 degrees all day today, but it's going to be raining. You know what rain means? April showers bring May flowers, so when it rains, make sure you get them flower petals ready. All across your bed. I know Trey Thomas likes that. I know Trey Thomas goes into flower petals. So it's going to be raining today, getting ready for May. But tomorrow it's going to be a beautiful day for football practice. Well, you know, I'm a tough guy. I like to get ready for football. 68 degrees, sunny all day Saturday. So that's good pumping weather as well. You know what I mean? Pumping the weights and pumping the bedroom.
All right. I heard it was going to be 69 tomorrow, not 68.
All right. 69.
Nice. That's what they said on the news last night when I watched.
Trey, this is going just as you planned.
A little bit.
All right, let's put a bow on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam, what did it look like today?
This morning we asked, has the past 2 weeks lowered your expectations for the Sixers going into the playoffs? We have just under 2,700 votes today. And it remained consistent yet again. 71% said yes, their expectations are lower.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Look at that. Mm. See, people get a little intimidated. People are confident they get out of the second round of the playoffs. Not so much right now. Let's get our takeaways of the day, but I will tell you, I'll tease my takeaway. It has to do with one of the greatest sound bites in the history of Tom McGinnis' career. Sam, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is simple. It's Friday! Woo!
Oh, boy.
There you go. Jamie, let's take away the day.
My takeaway of the day is we have a new wolf pack in town.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we do have a new wolf pack.
Yeah, it's Carson, it's Bryce, it's Reese. And they're the three best friends anyone could have.
You know, we never did put a bow on the conversation about the fanny pack across the chest.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I confronted Jalen Mills.
Oh, yeah, he does. It's a lot of people do it now.
Yeah, for those that think, you know, we just sit here on our high horses in a studio and don't confront people in public, I was at a charity event. It was the same one where Brent Celek got pranked by Fletcher Cox. And I went up to Jalen Mills because he was there, and I go, Jalen, I show him the picture of him with the fanny pack that we tweeted out here on the show that week when he was at the UFC fight in Dallas. And I go, man, I just got to tell you, what's with that going on there? And he was like, oh, man, that's my swag. And then he pointed to...
Would you say it's a swag pack. Bag?
Oh! Maybe. And I was like, well, I hope one day I hope to have the swagger that you have.
John Mayer used to carry around a sex toy backpack.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's convenience, people. Convenience. he just said that's his swag. And then he credited his I don't know, swagger. Stylist, I guess.
Yeah, I think I got my swagger back.
Bob Cooney, take away the day.
So I have to commend one Sam Wilson because she has gotten Giannis
Antetokounmpo
down pat.
Nailed it.
Bam. However, what's the name of our program promotions director?
I'm going to think about it. Mike Mike McGonagall.
No.
I can't say Mike's name, and I am so sorry,
Mike. We discovered this talking between breaks, and she can't say McMonagall.
I thought it was Mike McGonagall, which explains why I can never find his email.
That's why, you know, he's got a hall named after him on North Broad Street.
That is correct.
Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
McMonagall.
There you go.
My takeaway of the day is, man, when I was sitting around looking at the pictures of the Sixers and watching the, you know, Wentz and Harper sitting up in the booth with their hats backward, it reminded me of this episode from Seinfeld.
You better step off.
Hey, Tony.
We determine Bryce is Tony.
I'm going to allow Tom McGinnis to take away my takeaway of the day as we send it to break. Stay tuned for Gargano and Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Erie and Antetokounmpo to shoot a three, and he makes the pay. Joel and Embiid.
Whoa! Man, there's that Bledsoe. He just whipped the ball in the bead. Oh, my. He just fired a ball. Budenholzer in the face of Eric Bledsoe. He's got to be tossed out of here. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. I have not seen a violent act like that in years. Get him out. Unbelievable. He hit a beat right in the face. He threw it from 20 feet away.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.